Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Or could have done the theme music to Scrubs. Would have been funny.
I know.
We have Brett Aldridge joining us right now. He is, let me see if I can get all this right. He is the president of Baptist Hospital, and he is the administrator and the senior vice president of Baptist Healthcare. Did I get all that right, Brett?
You got it.
Outstanding. It's early. These are details. But welcome back, my friend. Good to have you back on the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, man, good to be here. I hope you're having a good day so far.
We are. I was actually, you know, it's kind of funny. I was just talking to Candy about, like, our Leadership Pensacola class that you and I were in 2016. It was a very interesting class in terms of not necessarily where everybody was at the time, but where everybody is now. Like, I think on Friday I had interviewed Will Conan, who is the president of, you know, the Studer Family Children's Hospital. You're the president of Baptist Hospital. I mean, that's a pretty good class, among other people that were in that class as well. It's pretty amazing. So I the reason
there's a guy Andrew McKay in there too. Who's
never heard of him.
Pretty successful.
Never heard of him. What does he do?
Oh, then that must be a different Andrew McKay.
Oh yeah, nice.
Thanks.
Nice.
I love Baptist Hospital. Thank you for what you do.
So it dawned on me the other day. We're within a month before the full transfer, September 23rd, which I know you guys are counting down by the minute basically at this point. But where do we stand in terms of the new facility? Is the new facility completed?
Yes, it is. So we are 25 days away, and yes, we're counting. So new facility is complete. All of our inspections have been signed off on, are 100%. The building is turned over, and so we are making our final preparations within the facility for our big move on the 23rd.
Okay, pardon me for congratulating you, but congratulations. Like, that's pretty amazing. That means that it was done on time and even ahead of time in a way, because you've got a month, basically, where you own them both and you don't have to worry about anything but getting from here to there. That's pretty good planning. What sort of things are you guys doing to get the current, you know, the doctors and nurses and staff prepared and trained so that when they inhabit the new building all in a single day in less than a month, they're ready to go? Because it is a, you know, it's, you know, their job is the same, but the location and the equipment and the, you know, it's kind of like you're in a restaurant, you know, where are the spoons, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that's got to be a big part of what the change is going to involve.
It has been. And, you know, fortunately, we've had a long time to prepare for it. And so the way that we've done this is through an overall readiness approach. And what I mean by that is we've broken it down. We took facility readiness. So what are all of the steps that need to happen to get the facility ready to see the first patient? Then the second thing we've really worked through is what we call operational readiness. And so that is where we spent really over 2 years mapping all of our workflows. So on this type of patient in this department, what are the step-by-step details of how that patient would process through? What would each of our team members do? Then, based off how the facility is different, we map the differences, and then we've developed a robust training program on all of those differences in those workflows. So that is operational readiness. And then the final bucket, if you will, is move readiness. So how will we move the patients? Working with Escambia County EMS and completing mock moves and timing the move and working through all of those logistics. So there's a lot of detail within each of those three buckets, but that's the way that we have been processing the move. I think one of the coolest components is how we have tested it. And so what I mean by that is when I talk about operational readiness and mapping the workflows of what's different from the legacy campus to the new campus, we have what we call a day in the life. And so these are massive events where we're mobilizing over 200 of our team members across all departments of the hospital to the new campus, and then simulating patient care there where patients move through and touch every department in the hospital. We're testing all of those processes, then having feedback sessions, then refining our training based off of what we learn, and then doing a second day in the life. This past Saturday, we had over 250 team members at the new campus training, practicing, and learning. And then we'll have another one, our final day in the life, in a couple Saturdays from now. So it's been just an incredible process. And honestly, I couldn't be more proud of our team, you know, who's doing their day job and doing this. And
yeah.
And it's been a lot, but it's been incredibly exciting to be a part of it. You know, it's historical, and I think that's not lost on any of us.
No, it's an enormous project. Pardon me, I don't remember the dollar amount. I have in my head $600 million. Is that, am I in the right ballpark?
That's right, $654 million.
Yeah, yep. So it's a new 3 mile bridge and a half for people to put it in perspective of, you know, how big of an investment this has really been by Baptist Healthcare. And I love to hear that too, because, you know, I think we all know that you don't want to find out how the thing is going to break when you're using it for real on live patients. You want to test that first. And the way you do that is by getting in there and actually role playing, gaming it through what's going to happen. How does this work? Because, you know, the time when you've got patients under care is not the time to find out, oh, I thought the spoons were in that drawer, you know, that kind of a problem. So that's great that you guys are doing the mock activations and the day in the life, as you say, to make sure that it's really familiar and comfortable when you do move in. We're talking to Brett Aldridge. He is, among other things, the president of Baptist Hospital. Brett, I know one of the things that has really, as you said, there were three different kind of buckets of what you're trying to accomplish here. Obviously, move day is a big test. That's a big stress. It's a lot of logistics to plan. My understanding is that one of the things that you've been doing in preparation for that is the fewer patients you have to actually transport, the better. And so you've been working to thin the census at the hospital. Is that right?
Yeah, the really starting 2 weeks before the move, and then really the week of the move, we'll start slowing down on our elective surgeries and those types of things to get to the most manageable number possible. You know, the reality is we move patients every day from floor to floor, from facility to facility. This day will be different, though, of course, because it's all at once and all to a brand new facility. But we're prepared for that. So we'll be working that census down, postponing some elective surgeries just a few days prior. And we're prepared to move our full house.
And so what kind of number is a normal census, and then what are you guys going to try to goal it down to? And then maybe what's a census, you know, normal daily population going to be at the new hospital?
Yeah, so, I mean, on any given day, we average somewhere around 180 to 190 patients.
Okay.
We're planning to move somewhere around, you know, anywhere between 130 on the low end or up to 200. So we could move, you know, like I said, the whole house. I mean, we're expecting it to be somewhere around 150, 160 or so.
Okay.
But, you know, those are always fluid numbers, and things happen, you know.
Right.
I mean, you never know when the ED will have an influx. And so we try not to get too caught up in the numbers. All that means is we'll go for an hour longer or 2 hours longer.
Oh, I like to hear that. I know it's something that comes up quite a bit with Eric Gilmore, but I just want to ask you the question that it's become a fixation point. Is the AmbuBus going to be ready? How much does your plan depend on the AmbuBus?
Yeah, I think the AmbuBus is going to be ready, but our plan really does not depend on it at this point. We'll have 16 individual ambulances dedicated to this move, and so we'll be able to use that. You know, when you think about the primary benefits of the AmbuBus, it's being able to load multiple low acuity ambulatory patients, meaning patients that can, you know, walk and move around and that type of stuff, onto the bus. And so when you think about the way that we're going to manage census and reduce some of those elective surgeries the week of, the number of ambulatory patients is going to be smaller anyway. So there is some benefit to the AmbuBus, but it is not a material difference for us. Really, we'll be focused on those 16 individual ambulances.
I got it. And that's really more your normal practice of moving patients anyway, as you mentioned a moment ago. And so, you know, it's helpful but not essential, which I you know, that's good to know. One, just a quick note, I hate to ask it because it's like the weird one you want to ask about, but September 23rd is still almost a month away, and it is going to be hurricane season. Do you have a plan for worst case scenario if we're in the middle of a storm? Is the plan to move nevertheless, or is the plan to hunker down? I mean, what's your plan if that happens?
Yeah, I think the answer is the plan depends. But
sure.
First and foremost, yes, we are prepared. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, like we've talked about before, we're used to storms here. And so we do a lot of drills and a lot of preparation for that. And certainly we have contemplated that and drilled and prepped for that during the course of planning this move. you know, I think it depends on the magnitude of the storm, where the storm is in the forecast, how many days away it is.
Yeah.
And we've got options, right? I mean, if it was a significant storm out in the Gulf a few days away, then that would be a statewide event anyway. And we would be asking ourselves the question of, do we need to evacuate, right?
Right.
And so in this instance, in this example, it would be the same question, the same preparation we've always gone through. The one major difference would be we have a brand new, the most storm-resilient hospital probably in the state at this point, ready to receive patients. So that's how we would start thinking about it differently. Instead of having to coordinate with other hospitals around the area, we would have one kind of vacant and waiting for us. So that would require state resources to help us move earlier and all that. But like I said, if it was a major storm in the Gulf, we would be going through that same decision-making process anyway.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Last thing, I just wanted to give you a chance to, because, you know, maybe for people who aren't familiar, maybe take a few moments, like maybe a minute or so, and just tell people what are some of the features, and particularly outside. I know the inside, there's a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of what you did with the surrounding geography, with the trees and trails and that kind of stuff, and all the natural lighting and the emphasis on lighting, I think that's some really cool stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. I mean, the inside, I think the important thing to know is this is an easy-to-use facility. I mean, it was built around the patient experience. It was built around creating a very usable and efficient environment. And so I think the patient experience is going to be fantastic inside. From an outside perspective, like you said, we were really thoughtful about trying to create a healing environment. And we were fortunate that the land where we built this hospital had two major oak groves on it. These trees were saplings in the Civil War era and then in the Revolutionary War area in the two different groves. And so we really designed the campus around those. So there's a town square with one of the oak groves that has walking trails and fountains like you talked about, and benches, and just a very peaceful, shady place for family members to go and get a minute of peace before being back in the hospital. And it's just set up such a wonderful environment. It doesn't feel like a hospital, you know, and that was kind of our point. We wanted it to feel different, and it really does. There's natural light all throughout the facility through light wells that pour in, which is going to be a huge benefit to our team members and our patients. There's a lot of studies that show about the health benefits and the of a healing natural environment. And so we're really excited for patients and we're really excited for our team.
No, I agree. And having seen even just the preliminary construction, I agree that it doesn't feel like you're going into that traditional institutional hospital setting that, you know, the fluorescent lights and the hard floors and everything just kind of feeling alien. It feels like you're kind of going to a big, well-equipped, almost like a luxury apartment complex or a hotel or something like that, plus all of the lighting and all of the outside amenities and things that work. So, it really is amazing. Well, Brett Aldridge, he is the president of Baptist Hospital and the administrator and senior vice president of Baptist Healthcare. Brett, as always, thanks for the time this morning. We'll look forward to talking to you all again as we anticipate the move coming up September 23rd.
Thank you, Andrew. Talk soon.
You bet. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.